On page 156, Chara Padarate Yekomange. If anyone wants the four boons, Artha, Dharma, Kama, and Moksha, he should do the seva of the sadhu. If anyone wants to finish the pain of birth and death, he should always chant God's name in his heart. If anyone wants the glory, he should leave the egoism in the company of the saints. If anyone is afraid of birth and death, he should take the shelter of the saint. Nanak sacrifices everything for those people who are thirsty for God's darshan. If anyone wants the four boons, Artha, Dharma, Kama, and Moksha, he should do the seva of the sadhu. Page 156.
Chara padarate yeko mange, chara padarate yeko mange, chara padarate yeko mange, chara padarate yeko mange. Sada jana ki seva lage, sada jana ki seva lage, sada jana ki seva lage, sada jana ki seva lage. Jeko apana dukha mitave, jeko apana dukha mitave, jeko apana dukha mitave, jeko apana dukha mitave. Hare Hare Nama Ride Sade Gave, Hare Hare Nama Ride Sade Gave, Hare Hare Nama Ride Sade Gave, Hare Hare Nama Ride Sade Gave. Jeko apani sobalo de, jeko apani sobalo de, jeko apani sobalo de, jeko apani sobalo de. Sade sange chode, sade sange ho homme chode, sade sange ho homme chode, sade sange ho homme chode. Jeko janama maranate dare, jeko janama maranate dare, jeko janama maranate dare, jeko janama maranate dare. Sada janaki sarani pade, sada janaki sarani pade, sada janaki sarani pade, Sada janaki sarani pare.
Jis jan ko prabhu darsh piyasa. Jis jan ko prabhu darsh piyasa.
Jis jan ko prabhu darsh piyasa.
Nanak ta ke bal bal jasa. Nanak ta ke bal bal jasa.
Nanak ta ke bal bal jasa. Nanak ta ke bal bal jasa.
Nanak sacrifices everything for those people who are thirsty for God's darshan. If anyone wants the four boons, artha, dharma, kama, moksha, he should do the seva of the sadhu. And as I guess everybody knows, Rasal and Sheep are going to show us some slides of Master Kripal.
Okay, these are mostly slides from the 63 tour, although I see that we're actually starting with a couple of pictures from 55. And it was thought that since I am one of the very few people around who remember the 63 tour, that I could talk about it. I'm not sure how much I can actually add to the pictures. We were on about, Judith and I and the kids, Miriam and Eric, were on about half the tour. And we missed a big section of it. And some of the pictures, many of them actually, are from places that we didn't go to. I sometimes feel like a dinosaur. I mean, we're talking prehistory here from the point of view of most people. And next year will be the 50th anniversary of the 63 tour, which is something. It's also, of course, the 50th anniversary of the founding of this ashram. Anyway, I did not know Master Kripal in 1955. Although when he was in Boston in November, at the end of the tour, I was a student at Boston University School of Fine and Applied Arts, Division of Theater Arts at the time. And as it happened, I walked daily between two campuses of Boston University right past the hotel where he was staying. But I didn't know it. And I wouldn't have cared much if I had known it. It was a year later that I began to search in general. All right, okay, this is a great picture of Master with the President of Ireland, Eamon de Valera. This is 1963, is before he got to the U.S., of course, in the European section of the tour. And this is, Cuckoo is off to the side there. I don't know, I guess she's cropped out mostly, but that's with the President of Ireland. In the European section of the tour, Master met a large number of heads of state. Some of them were royalty-type figures who were still functioning in Europe somewhat at that time. And others were elected people like this. He also met the Pope, of course, during that tour. And originally, there was in these pictures, there was a picture of him with the Pope also. Yeah. And I like this. I always liked it. That Master was a member of the Order of St. John of Jerusalem, Knights of Malta. This is a very storied order, and they approached the Master and asked him to become a member because of his work in the World Fellowship of Religions. I think the Baron von Blomberg, whom a number of pictures of later, who was an initiate, and who I believe was either in the order or had connections in the order. He was the go-between there. But this is the Knights, if you know medieval history, these were the Knights Hospitaller. They were the a monastic order of, the word they use usually is, and they were the sister order to the Knights Templar and rival. The two orders were often rivals, but they existed for the protection of pilgrims to Jerusalem. And the Knights Hospitaller took care of the pilgrims in hospitals and generally provided hospitality, using hospital in the oldest sense. And later they became known as the Knights of Malta because they shifted their headquarters to the island of Malta during the Renaissance. And if you know the book The Maltese Falcon, it's about that order, although it's quite fictional what they say. There never was a falcon, I don't believe. But I always loved it that Master was inducted into that order, and he's wearing the insignia that he was given. If you ever read the book The Beloved Master by Bhadrasena, which came out in 1963, just before the tour, there's a very moving account of the ceremony in which he was given by Bhadrasena's son, Vinod Sena. Okay. Yes. Now, we were not here at the National Airport when Master came in. Judith and I were, in fact, a few miles away at this point. We were driving down, and we got here after he had left the plane and come into Mr. Khanna's house in Washington, where he was staying. But we were not far away, and we saw him just a short while after this. Okay, go on. And there are two sets of pictures here, by the way. Some of them are, and you'll notice, some of them are black and white, some of them are color. The black and white pictures were a set of official tour pictures that were provided for us after the tour was over. And we had that set. And it was here at the ashram for many years and then at the press. And I used it in Satsandesh and Sant Bani. I used many of the pictures from here in those books, in those magazines, and in some of the books too. I think in Impact of a Saint, I used several of them. I don't know where they are now, my original set, but the colored pictures, I don't know. They were obviously taken by someone else at the same time, since a lot of them cover the same ground. Anyway, all of these are Master's arrival. You can see Taiji and Cuckoo next to the Master. Cuckoo, who accompanied Master both in 55 and 63, the Princess Davinder Bir Kaur Narendra, daughter of the Maharaja of Jind, widow of an Air Force pilot, who died, I believe, in a crash, died young. In India, a widow is not a good position to be. And she was a very intelligent, extremely well-educated, a very sophisticated young woman whom both Judith and I loved very much. And were very when I was editor of Satsandesh, Cuckoo and Eileen Wigg, who's will be in several other pictures later on, were my staff in India. They translated Master's talks. They wrote articles and sent me information and collected other stuff and sent it to me. And they, without them, I couldn't have done it. And later, of course, they wrote the enormous biography, Love, Light, and Life, of which the first half, approximately, was written by Cuckoo. Okay. Yeah, that is, I believe, Olga Donenberg from Chicago, who was the group leader with Master. It could be her sister, Sunny Cowan, but I don't think so. They look a lot alike, and you'll see them both as pictures go on. Okay. Yeah, Master is now, I've mentioned many times in satsang how Judith and I came in, we came down to Mr. Khanna's house, we backed into a driveway across the street, somebody came out and told us Master was going to come out in a minute, and he came out on the porch and down the steps, and those were the steps and the porch that he came out on and that we saw, got our first glimpse of him physically. And Judith burst into tears, like I've often told. And it was just, there he was, and I've been wondering, what is it like to be in the presence of a master? Is it really gonna be what I think it is? Is it possible? Is it really possible for someone to be like that? To be a real master in this world? And in the second that I saw him, you know, it was like I was overwhelmed with a sense of my own triviality. And I recognized everything I saw very clearly. Yes, it is possible. Yes, he is a master. Everything about him, the way he moved, the way he looked. And he didn't even look at us. I mean, he didn't know us. We were there. He probably did know we were there, but we didn't do anything to indicate that he knew we were there. He just came out, got in the car, and drove off to the friend's meeting house. Okay. And this could be, it's possible this is the very time that, but I doubt it. Master was here a month. He stayed a month in Washington, September 63. And we were there only the first two or three days because we had to come back up here and get the big house in shape for him to stay, which it was an absolute mess, by the way. And our friend Seymour Swetsoff from Boston, whom we had invited to come up on June 30th, which was a couple of months earlier, he took one look at the house and he said, "My God, you're going to have the master here? You better do something." And we still didn't do that much, but after we got and saw him, it became very, very real, and we came up and we worked around the clock basically for 6 weeks, the month of September and the first week or so of October. And I told Seymour when I saw him in Boston when Master was there, I went down for one. Well, actually, I went down twice. Once with Judith and Gerard Wiggins, we went down and heard him talk at the Second Church, and then I went down again and attended an initiation that he did. And at that initiation, I had been sitting in total darkness for 2 years, so, 'cause I had gone off the path and then come back. And at that initiation, he gave me back the light, although it was nothing like what happened just a couple of days later. But anyway, it was something else. Huh? I'm sorry, Dick.
Was it David Wiggins?
It was Gerard Wiggins who went down. David was in Boston the whole week. He went down and stayed there the whole week. But Gerard rode down with us on this particular night, whichever night it was. Yeah. I'm sorry, David is here, by the way, I believe. And he can contradict me if anything I say is incorrect. Anyway, yeah, go ahead. Okay, these are the masters at the Kana house. There were two, master was there twice. He was there the month of September, and then at the very beginning of the tour, and then he went back there at the end of the tour for about 10 days in January. And those 10 days in January were the high spot of my life up to that time. There were two parts on the 63 tour, well, actually three, that were memorable for me, especially memorable, that stood out, although God knows there were tons of things that stand out when I think about it. My memory is so incredibly full from that. But one was the 24 hours that he spent here, and the time right around it, including the day in Vermont the next day, and then Master's stay up in Jackson, New Hampshire, and which there's a picture of later, and then a few days in Connecticut where I was driving my pickup truck around with luggage in it. And then, and the time that I ran away from him in California, which we'll get to later, and then the final 10 days at Mr. Kana's house, which were absolutely heavenly. That was where I really got the feeling of what it's like to be around the Master, to be with him. We stayed in the house, and Judith and I, the kids, were with my parents, although they had gone with us on almost all the tour. But for this final 10 days, we went down and stayed in a room in Mr. Kana's house. And it was like being in heaven. Yeah, go ahead. And this is from that final 10 days. This is the famous birthday celebration, the talk, Love is the Way, which is in a coming spiritual revolution, and which we played on tape over and over in the old days, and which, when the tape that we had was, Master had the habit of scratching the microphone during the talk. He was sitting there, and he liked to do things with his hands when he was talking. And it so happened that he had this microphone, and he was scratching it like this throughout the talk. And it's much of it drowns out his voice, but we didn't mind. Anyway, it's been printed, and it's a great, great talk. I had a whopping migraine headache during this particular talk, and I actually had to leave a couple of times to get some air. I was just dying with pain in the house. I still was greatly zapped by it. Okay, this is a part when I wasn't there. I don't know. That's Mr. Kana and Master, and of course, and I think that lady standing there is just somebody standing around. I don't remember her, and I don't think she had anything to do with the tour. Okay. All right, now at Donna Kelly's house, this isn't Donna Kelly, this is the Sharmas. Some of you may remember in 1972, that Master went down and spent a night, and we all went down, at Sharma's farm in Virginia, just outside of Washington. And these are the same Sharmas, but this is before they bought that farm. And Master apparently, this was Judith and I had come back up here at this point, but Master had a get-together there, the same as he did at the farm in 72. This is a similar, and that's Donna Kelly is sitting next to Master, the white hair and the cap, and her husband Charles, his face is visible over the shoulder of Donna. Donna Kelly was an initiate of Baba Sawan Singh, and she and Mr. Khanna jointly began the work, Master Kripal's work in this country. Most of the official people who had been Sawan Singh's disciples followed the Bayas group after Master Sawan Singh left. Dr. Brock, who was Master's original, Sawan Singh's original representative, did not do that, and he remained. He moved Master Kripal and met him in 1955. He had left the body by the 63 tour, and he was also quite elderly in 55. They had been initiated back in 1911, he and his wife, and many, many of the letters that have been published of Sawan Singh were written to them. But Donna Kelly, when Mr. Khanna first came to this country, actually, he first came to Canada as part of the Indian Diplomatic Corps, and he was in station first in Toronto, and he invited Donna Kelly to come from California and address a big group of Sawan Singh disciples and interested people put together. That really began Master Kripal's work in the Western Hemisphere. Later, Mr. Khanna was transferred to Washington, and the work took off. Yeah. And that's Ms. Donna Kelly, and Charles Kelly is behind her. Sanchi met them in the 1980 tour. He made a special trip to there. He flew into Beaumont from Los Angeles specially, and he spent several hours talking with them in their house. But that is, this is, I believe, the Friends Meeting House. That is Mrs. Helen McDaniel giving the talk, who was very prominent satsangi back then. And the person sitting over on the left-hand side of the picture is a gentleman named Lewis Warder from New York. He was also, he was initiated on the 63 tour and became very active in the New York satsang. I'm not sure. That could be Mr. Khanna's youngest son, Gurcharan, but I'm not sure it is. I think it's likely, but I'm not positive. And this is, I believe, I think this is the basement of the Friends Meeting House, and Master sometimes addressed down there. I'm not sure. Okay, I don't know where this is. It's typical, a lot of talks that Master gave in churches during the 63 tour to large crowds of people, most of whom were not initiated. The number of initiates who were with him at any one time was probably never more than 100. There weren't that many initiates then in the U.S., and not everyone could follow him around either. So it was, and in those 10 days in Washington, when he didn't give, at the end, when he didn't give any public talks, there were about 100 people there. Now, this guy is a some kind of clergyman, probably Catholic, and he's also a baron, and I don't know his name. I forget it. I did know it. But he was part, after Master was here in October 11th, and he went to Vermont on October 12th, And then he came down to the Baron's house in Hampton, New Hampshire, on October 13th. And then the tour kind of went on hold for about 10 days or 2 weeks. And Master did things in connection with the World Fellowship of Religions. And that's who this guy, one of the things that he did was he went up to Jackson, New Hampshire, and stayed at a castle up there with some countess or other. And this guy, this baron, was also there. And I believe this was probably taken up there in that house. And now, I don't know where this was, but the gentleman sitting at the extreme left in the front is Mr. W.B. Rattray, who was Master's representative in Canada at the time. He's a Jamaican man, very sweet man that I liked very much. So this could be in Toronto. Mrs. Khanna is sitting next to him. Olga Dannenberg is two people away. That's Elsie Cowan, because the gentleman sitting next to her is Walter Cowan, and Walter and Elsie Cowan were very active in California and actually began the incorporation of Master's work, which was headquartered there a couple of years later. I knew them, and I was with them in India in 1965. And I'm not sure about other people who were there, but anyway. That is a lady I named, and this was probably not her birth name, but she was called Gyanamata Nikunja. And she had, her house was called Kripal Ashram, and it was in Galesburg, Illinois. And she was on the 63 tour, although I don't remember seeing her a whole lot. But she was around then at that time. And this is probably her house. And Master went there as part of the visit to Chicago, which we were not present at. Yeah. I don't know who that guy is. And God knows, Master had to go to so many of these things in connection with the World Fellowship of Religions. It was an endless series of dinners and teas and this and that. And he was so, you know, he didn't mind. And the Baron von Blomberg described once, he used to often sit next to him at these things, and stuff would be served. And Master would not, of course, know. Well, he probably did know, but nobody else would know, you know, what was in some of the stuff that was served. And he said Master had this way. He would take a piece of pastry or something, and he would deal with it. He would just sort of take it in his hands, and he would pull it apart. And he would be talking at the same time and drinking tea, and this thing would be pulled apart, and eventually it would be a pile of crumbs on the plate. And nobody would say for sure that he didn't eat anything. And he used to do that habitually. Yeah. And this, of course, this was at one time was a pretty famous picture. It was published in Satsandesh before I was editor. It was published in India in one of the early issues. And it's a beautiful picture, as you can see, Master in an airplane. And I don't know who these people are, but they are obviously very happy to be with the Master. And he seems very happy to be with them. So it's possible that was... go back a second. It's possible that was Mrs. Vandilla Walker from Cincinnati and her husband Luther. Mrs. Walker was a group leader in Cincinnati. And Luther, her husband, was a Pullman car porter on a train. And the initiation in 1964, January 64, at Mr. Khanna's house, which is probably where this picture was taken, was scheduled for a certain day, and Mrs. Gordon Hughes from Louisville, who was a good friend of Mrs. Walker's and who had arranged for her to be a group leader in Cincinnati, told Master that Luther Walker wanted the initiation very badly, but he was on the train and he couldn't get to Washington on the day scheduled. So Master postponed the whole initiation for one day so that he could get there. And I talked to him. I said to him, you know, that was pretty special what happened. And he said, well, I'm very grateful. And that was all. And he said, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, this is both Sonny Cowan and Olga Dannenberg are in that picture. They were the tornado twins, we used to call them, Hurricane Sonny. Because there was a big a pamphlet was printed about Hurricane Donna back in Florida, in which she figured. But anyway, she was in St. Petersburg, Florida, and Olga Dannenberg was in Chicago, and they were both very devoted. And Mrs. Khanna is standing on the left, Taiji, of course, Mr. Khanna, and I don't know who the young lady is kneeling next to Master. Okay. And this, I believe, when Ship and I went over these, I believe this is the night that Master went to the ashram at La Crescenta, California. And the lady sitting on the couch or in the chair on the left, whose head is next to the lamp, I believe, and my memory, you have to forgive me, this is a long time ago, and I remember things, but I don't always remember them as vividly as we might like. I believe that she is Srimati Gayatri Devi, who had ashrams both in Cohasset, Massachusetts, and in La Crescenta, California. And Lucille Gunn, who is sitting, actually, she's sitting back to the camera with a cover on her head on the floor, facing the ladies on the couch or the chairs or whatever. She lived in La Crescenta at the time, and Master stayed at her house. And she was good friends with the people at the ashram, and she invited us, or she worked it so that Gayatri Devi invited the Master to come. Now, the funny thing is that Gayatri Devi was the leader of the Vedanta group in Boston, from which many of the 1955 Boston initiates came, including Millie Prendergast. Now, Millie was there that night. It's possible that that's her head that's in the lower right-hand corner, because she was definitely there. She and Judith and I went there also. And I don't know how much contact Millie had had with Gayatri Devi, but they had been very close. And then Master came and Millie took initiation from him. So there was kind of a little bit of a tricky kind of reunion kind of thing going on. But it was a very sweet night. I remember it well, that dark lady between Gayatri Devi and the other one sang a bhajan. She was a great singer, and she sang a bhajan that I never heard before and never heard since, of which the chorus was Mantra Ramo Nam. And when she finished, Master talked a little bit about it and talked about the real Ram Nam, the sound current. And he also talked about Ramakrishna, how much he admired him. He said he was God intoxicated all the time. He said it was such feeling all the time. And Gayatri Devi talked about Kabir and how much she admired him and so forth. It was a great night, and I was very happy to be there. And she did address Millie directly, and asked her how she was doing and said she missed her and so forth and so on, which was between the two of them. Yeah.
So are they meditating now?
Huh?
Are they meditating?
I don't think they're meditating. I think that the lady is singing the bhajan that I mentioned. If you look, she looks a little like she might be. I don't remember a meditation, but it's possible we sat silently for a while. And this is the same group. And it's again possible that Millie's head is over the master's shoulder on the right side. I'm not sure of that. I don't see Lucille in that. Yeah, go ahead, Chip, that's okay. I have no idea who Master is greeting here. But when he met people, he really met them. And he gave them, whether they knew it or not, he gave them something. Okay, this is Boston, as it says. But I don't know more than that. I was in, go ahead, Chip, go to the next. This is a great picture. Master is listening to the girl playing, and if you look at the expression on his face, I don't know what he's thinking or where he is, but I don't know. This is Millie's house, obviously, and that is Millie Prendergast. And I did see Master twice here. When we came down with Gerard, when I mentioned, we came here first, and we talked with Master up in the room he was staying in briefly, and he told us he would come to our house in a couple of days, and etc. And then I was again at the initiation. And this is, I believe, also in Millie's house. And I don't know who that lady is, although I should probably, since I knew most of the Boston satsangis at that time. Yeah, go on. Well, it's a very interesting picture. But I don't know many of those people. This could be, again, in Jackson. That's the Baron von Blomberg standing next to Master. And it's quite possible that this is up at Jackson. Because these are not, at least, I don't say they're not satsangis, but I don't think they are. I don't remember any of them except for the Baron. Yeah. Yeah, I will do that, yeah. Actually, there's a later picture that covers that. This, of course, is a memorable night for all of us. This is Franklin, New Hampshire, Unitarian Church, basement, October 11th, 1963. I am introducing the Master. And this is the night when Master declared to the world that he was glad to spend the day at Sant Bani Ashram. First time it ever been called an ashram. And from that moment, Judith and I, although we were not sitting next to each other at the meeting, but we both understood instantly that Master was making it an ashram. And this was the night that it began. Now that, I believe, that is Gerard Wiggins, whose head is at the bottom right of the screen. Okay, great. There are lots of other people there that I know, but I can't tell who they are in this picture much. Anyway, go ahead. And this is the same. This is the same night. I can tell that. I mean, many of these pictures seem indistinguishable, but you'll notice the covers on the light bulbs. When I came in that afternoon to fix the place up, the bulbs were naked, and the church had not given us the main part. They had been very kind, but they were a little bit reserved. I knew them. Judith and I had attended the Unitarian Church for about a year and a half, sometime earlier, back in 60, 61, like that. And we knew the minister and the people there, so it was not totally But at the same time, they were a little bit hesitant to get too involved. So we got the basement, but that was okay. And the bulbs were naked, so I went to Newberry's Five and Dime and bought a bunch of things that I could, shades that I could put on the bulbs so they wouldn't look so naked. I recognized them that I had done that. Yeah. Gerald Boyce is in there somewhere. He may be behind the camera, I don't know. And I can see it way over in the, at the extreme right, is a fellow named Bill Simpson, who some of you may remember. He actually, at this session, he asked a very interesting question. He asked Master how we could tell, you know, that it was important. He recognized from the talk that it was important to find a master, but he wanted to know where we could find them. So a master gave a general, very sweet kind of general answer, and Bill Simpson said, "Yeah, well, I recognize that in India there may be many, but how do we find some in America?" And the master said, "Well, in America, you know better than I do, because I'm from India." But anyway, it was like that. And later, he got in touch with me and eventually got initiated. And he was around for quite a while. I think he has left the body now. So there are other people. Penny Golden, whom some of you will remember. She was here that night and she asked questions and so forth and so on. Anyway, there were 75 people there, which, if you think about percentages, I've often said, Franklin had about 7,500 people, the area around Franklin that the population came from. That's 1% of the people. If you take 1% of the people in New York City, if had come to hear him, there would have been 70,000 people in the hall, whatever hall there was. So it was a very encouraging night, really. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah, now, there were several in the original group that these pictures came from. There were several taken here. These are, the color pictures, of course, were taken by Lala Howard. And the ones that we have used a lot, and they're in the coming spiritual revolution, and they're around on various walls and so forth. But the black and white ones were taken as part of the official tour pictures. Now, the picture that Master took, he's of course sitting on the rock. The picture that Master took was on the wall at the Big House living room for many years. I don't remember when it disappeared, and I don't know what happened to it. But if some of you may remember seeing it, it was a very strange picture. And I have to say, I don't know what that means, but it was like a triple exposure. And there were time and space were all mixed up in it. And people used to say things like, "Well, that must be the way we look to him," and stuff like that. It was incredible. Well, I don't know how he did it, you know. I don't know how he got there. And everyone was taking pictures of him, so he wanted to take pictures of us. That was the, you notice this Miriam's bucket on the rock there, which accompanied him throughout that stay. Later on, he hung his vest up on a branch on the tree. And now, I wasn't there that afternoon because I was in Franklin at the Unitarian Church fixing it up for Master to come to. And I saw him. I was in the Big House looking out the back window. Judith and I were both there. And we saw Master going up, walking up to the rock. And we watched him go up. He was with Taiji. And he came up, and we watched him, and he sat down on the rock. And we both felt like he was really demonstrating approval of the place. But I couldn't stay. I mean, somebody had to go and do it, and I went. There were a few other people. Ben Ringel went with me, and there were a few others too. But Judith was here, and the kids were here. There's one famous picture has Miriam getting prashad from the master on the back cover of Coming Spiritual Revolution. She was 2 and a half, of course. Eric was 1. And Judith told me that as they were driving, she rode into Franklin that night in the car with him. I didn't even go home. I just stayed. There was so much to do at the church, and I just stayed on. And Master said to Judith on the way in, "Where is your husband? He missed all the fun today." And she said, "Well, he was in the church getting it ready for you, Master." He nodded his head and said, "Ah." And the next morning, he had the meditation in the living room of the big house, and which Gerald Boyce attended. He walked from Tilton to get there, and he got there just in time. But I was talking with Master before the meditation started, and when Gerald came in the door, Master looked at him and said, "People are arriving, we should start." And that was the point at which we started the meditation. In that meditation, Master, it was the best meditation I had ever had, with one exception, up to that point. And I afterwards said, and you realize that I had been 2 years with nothing, absolutely nothing. And suddenly there it was, all the light and more than light. And afterwards, I thanked him. I said, "Master, thank you so. I mean, I can't do it. I know you gave it to me." And he said, "Well, you missed out on everything yesterday." So, anyway, go on. Okay, now this is Vermont. You'll notice now, Donna Jewell is visible right next to Master on our right from him. Eileen Wigg is sitting on the ground looking kind of miserable, huddled up. It was chilly. It was definitely chilly. Other people are around. A fellow named Steve Douglas, who was a good friend of mine at the time and was on much of the 63 tour, is on the extreme right. And there are other people too. I think David Wiggins is there somewhere. Yeah, is that cropped ship or can you?
I don't know what that is. Yeah, it's doing something.
Because there are people cut out. Okay, it seemed when we looked at it the other day that he was in it. Okay. Well, we're the victims of technology. Because when we looked at the picture the other day, definitely David was there. Where is he? There he is. I see him. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Go on. Yeah. All right, this now took place in Hamilton, Ontario. Judith and I were in Toronto. This happened a day or two before Toronto. So we heard about this, but we weren't present. These are kids from the neighborhood. This is at the McTeer's house, Arthur and Mary McTeer, who were good friends of ours and who came to the ashram a number of times in the early days, invited Master to their house in Hamilton, which is a good-sized city, just about a few miles south of Toronto. And Master was there, and one day, these kids, they're neighborhood kids, they just all turned up. They are meditating. Master put them in meditation. He didn't fool around. They wanted to see him, they got to meditate. So he put them in meditation, and apparently they all had a great time. This is a famous picture, or pictures of this were pretty well known at the time. Mr. Khanna used it as the to illustrate one circular that he sent out later. Anyway, yeah. I don't know anything about this picture, really.
The State House in Boston.
Okay. Interesting. So is that Beacon Street?
Yes, and that's the Shaw, the black, it's a relief of the black regiment behind it.
Okay, Colonel Robert Shaw. If you ever saw the movie Glory, that's the story of that regiment, and Colonel Shaw was played by Matthew Broderick in the movie. Okay, very interesting. Very interesting. And Robert Lowell wrote a poem about that statue called "The Union for the Union Dead," because they died in a the invasion of the, massacre really of Fort Wagner, South Carolina. About three quarters of the regiment was killed, including Colonel Shaw. Okay, well, that's good to know. I think this, I don't know where this is. I was going to say it could be, there's things about it that are similar to the Franklin Night, but I don't think it's different. It's a different setting on the stage. Yeah. Okay, now that's Lucille Gunn sitting down on the extreme right, extreme left, excuse me. And she was, of course, she was one of the first initiates to spend time with Master in India. She actually spent 6 months with him. 1 year, and then went back several more times, one of which I was with her. I don't know who the other people are, although I probably did know at one time. And now that guy was the group leader in Rochester, New York. I don't remember his name, but I saw him in Connecticut. He came to meet Master and drive him up. And I was just leaving to come back up to New Hampshire in my pickup truck. Yeah. Okay, now that's obviously, I would assume, Boston, because that's Millie and the Baron. But more than that, I don't know. And that's also Millie, too. And I believe the guy with glasses in the front row is Bob Kubel, who was a very good friend of mine, and he was came to the path around the same time as Judith and I did. And Maud Freeman, who is sitting on the other side of him, on the extreme right, the lady with glasses, was very active also. She was like Mr. Khanna's secretary. And the lady sitting next to Mr. Khanna on the left-hand side of the picture was Wava Sanderson, who was the group leader in Boston when we started going to satsang there. And she was very instrumental in many of you. She's a very kind person, and I learned a lot from her. Millie was not the group leader when we first started going to satsang. That happened later. Yeah. Okay, I don't know where this is, truthfully. This is a picture I've seen many times, and there's a lot of people in it. The guy sitting on the floor next to Master, I think his name was Julius Burt. Next to him is Ben Ringel, who was the group leader in New York for many years. And any of you who remember the 72 tour will remember him. Next to him is a young lady named Barbara Condos, who was a good friend of mine also. And where this is, I don't know. But this is probably the same place. You notice Master is reflected in this. He's on both sides of it, which is absolute truth. Exactly the way of it. A few more times it could be in there too. Okay. I don't know who she is, but I like the way she looks at the Master. He's some official guy, ambassador or something, you know, judging by his pants and other things. This is could be at the Second Church in Boston where Master spoke. And he did speak from a pulpit like that, and I was present on one occasion. And David actually was there, I think, on all the times that Master spoke there, if I'm right. But we'll see. I think there's another picture that... Go ahead, Shep. Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is the Second Church in Boston. Unitarian Church. Yeah, this is... I used this picture in Satsandesh, in December issue one time. Okay, well, it's California. That covers a lot of ground. More than that, I don't know, but it's a nice picture of Master. That is the guy who is visible standing next to Master with the long beard, is Roussel Jacques. And Roussel Jacques wrote the book Gurudev, the Lord of Compassion. And he was the first initiate to spend time with the Master in India. He went in 1959, actually went over in 1958, and he stayed 6 months. And he was there from approximately January to June 59. And that's his book, is a record of his stay. It's a beautiful book. Very sweet devotional quality. And Judith and I got to know Roussel very well in California in 63. He came down from San Francisco with Master to Santa Barbara. He rode down in the same car with him, and that's where we met him. And he was there through the rest of the California tour. And we got along very well with him, and I enjoyed him, both of us enjoyed him very much. I saw him once again years later in a assisted living house in Fort Bragg, California, where he spent his final days, and he had had a stroke, but he was in good shape, and it was a very sweet reunion. Okay. Yeah, now the Master went to the Seaquarium in Miami, and keep going, Shep. And this is, it became a very, movies were taken of this, and for some time, you know, we didn't have a lot of movies back in the old days, and I remember when Judith Webb, Shep's wife, saw these movies, she asked me if Master's if he spent all his time going to Seaquariums, because it was shown over and over the same thing in the movie. This dolphin was very fond of Master. He was a famous dolphin. He was very people came and see him. He did all kinds of special things. He died about a month later, and it was generally thought among the initiates that Master had pity on him and took him out of his dolphin body. And Master is not feeding him, he is just greeting him. Yeah, go on. Okay, they went to Panama. I, of course, wasn't there. There was a revolution going on in Panama at the time. And because of it, they didn't get to South America. Dr. George Arnsby Jones wrote a history of the 63 tour called The Harvest is Rich, The Mission of Kripal Singh. Copies are still around, I think, in the ashram library. And much of the book is kind of not particularly interesting. It goes just recites facts, statements about where he went and what he said and this and that. But there are some parts that are very good, and one of them is the account of the stay in Panama. Because the building where their passports were was, they couldn't go keep on going to South America. And they came back to Washington after the Panama stay, and that was how those 10 days in January came about. They were not originally part of the tour. Master was going to end the tour in South America. But because of that, those of us who were there had the best 10 days of our life. So you never know. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah, well, that's a nice picture. I have to say that. These are all taken at Dr. Lovelace's farm in San Jose. Dr. John Lovelace was the group leader in San Jose, and I think at this point he was the representative, master's representative in Northern California. And he was a very active disciple. Yeah. That's him and his wife and, I guess, child. Dr. John, he was very kind to me. He was an osteopath. And I was deathly sick one time in Dallas, Texas, for a board, Rani Satsang board meeting after Master had left the body. And I was just vomiting and, oh God, I was sick. I had eaten okra, unfortunately, the night before. As Southern hospitality dictated that I eat Southern food, so I was told. Anyway, and I just couldn't handle it. And Dr. Lovelace worked on me. I had to skip the board meeting that day. But it was a two-day meeting, and I went the first day, but the second day. And Dr. Lovelace came back and forth all day long and worked on me, and eventually ended my vomiting, for which I am extremely grateful. They told me many interesting stories while he was doing it, too. Okay, yeah, and this is at his place. And, yeah, I wasn't there. We joined a tour in Santa Barbara, which was just after this part of the tour. Yeah, the Lovelaces had goats, as you can see. And we weren't here either, of course, but these are beautiful pictures. And this is where we joined the tour, but I did not go to Santa Barbara Beach. The gentleman walking in front of Master is Mr. Dara Emery, who was the group leader in Santa Barbara at the time. Now, Harmony Grove was why on earth Master was ever booked in here, I don't know. But Harmony Grove was a medium colony, that is, for spiritualists, people who do seances and invoke the dead. And Master stayed at what was called, a sign on it said, Medium's Cottage. And when we got there, it was very weird. We didn't know what was going on. I had no idea why Master was here or what was going to happen or anything. And there was such a negative, it was like a blanket of negativity was over the place. And the first satsang, the satsang was full, and many people were Harmony Grove people who came to see what was going on, I guess. And Master gave, did not follow his usual tactic, which was to always see the positive in what other people were doing. He gave a very strong talk against spiritualism. And it was so strong that about half the people in the building walked out before the talk was over. But that clear, somehow or other, that cleared up the cloud of negativity. And from then on, it was great, and everyone was happy. And I was talking with Gerald Boyce about this after the tour, after I got back. And I told him, because Gerald had knew a lot about spiritualism and so forth. And he said that, in his opinion, Master was giving the talk on two levels. On the physical level, he was talking to the people in the building physically about spiritualism, but he was also talking to the people in the astral plane who were stuck and telling them to move on up, and that it worked. And they did move on up, and that is why the negativity vanished. Anyway, it was a very interesting few days that we spent there. That's Walter and Elsie Cowan, who were very, very prominent in California, and to stay in Tustin was actually a very sweet stay. This was in connection with Master went. Now, I didn't go to Palm Springs because this, if you read my book, The Impact of a Saint, which I'm not saying you should, but if you have, you will remember that I ran away from him at this point. And this is precisely, we drove to Beaumont at Donna Kelly's house, and I couldn't deal with, and if you want to know why, I suggest you read the book, because I don't want to go into it now, but I couldn't handle being on the tour anymore. And so I just got in a bus in Beaumont, went to San Francisco, yeah. And Judith stayed with the kids, and eventually ended up driving from Beaumont to Dallas all night long with two kids in the car without me. We had been doing that, of course, in tandem, but she did it by herself, which was a quite marvelous undertaking for which I have, and I was somewhere else. But if you read the book, you know that Judith went in to the master, told him that I had run off, and he said, well, you write him a letter and I'll write him a letter. And so Master wrote a letter hand wrote a little note, which is shown, and a photograph of it is in the book, because it was a pivotal letter in my life. And Judith didn't write a letter. She just put the letter that Master wrote in an envelope and wrote my, I told her how to general delivery in San Francisco. And she wrote that on the letter and sent it off. And I did, I saw the letter and I thought, well, this is, I'll learn something. And I opened it, and it was not from Judith at all, it was from Master. And within a few hours, I was on my way back. And if you read the letter, he doesn't say you should come back or anything like that. It's very different, but it was exactly what I needed, and it brought me back. Yeah. And that's Betty Shiflett. Some of you, we were reminiscing earlier about Betty. Betty spent many years at this ashram, a few years after this. She was here from, I think, 1966 to 1972. And did much seva, and was a very large part of the face that the ashram presented to the world. But she left after the 72 tour and went to California, where she had a similar position in Anaheim at the House of Hospitality there in the headquarters of the Divine Ruhani Satsang Incorporated. Yeah. And this is a Fresno TV interview about which I know nothing except what you see on the screen. Yeah, that is John Pollard, Sr., Donna Jewel's husband at the time, who was on the tour. Donna was on the first part of the tour and came up here. And John was on another large part of the tour. He was in Louisville also, and was in California, and we got very close to him. Yeah, that is Walter Paul Baptiste, who was a yogi in San Francisco, an American yogi, one of the first yoga teachers, authentic yoga teachers in this country, actually. And he's holding a snake. I'm not sure what he's doing with it, but he's holding it. And he was initiated in 55. And he did. He ran the Baptiste Yoga Center in San Francisco. And when I ran away from Master, I went and saw him when I got to San Francisco. I had always wanted to meet him. And I had a long talk with him. And it was a good talk. He was very good to me and very kind, and gave me some suggestions which were pretty good. But shortly after, I was back with Master. Okay. Yeah, and there he is again, sitting next to the Master, and I guess that's his family, but I don't know more than that. I only met him that one time.
Can you back up?
Huh?
Is he holding Master's hand?
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably is, yeah. Yeah, now Reno Serene, we met him on this tour. He just turned up. And Master, he got along very well. Master loved him from the beginning and joked with him in a way that he didn't with a lot of people. And, of course, later he entrusted Reno with a great deal of responsibility. Walter and Elsie Cowan, whom we saw pictures of earlier, left the Master of sometime in the mid-60s, and Reno took over for them, and he was a good friend. I got very close to him, actually, eventually, and he used to call me on Sunday afternoon and discuss things, much to my kids' annoyance, because I would be reading to them in the room upstairs. It was in Eric's room. Actually, it was both of their room for a while. And Reno would call, and I would stop in the middle of the book I was reading and go down and talk. And then 45 minutes later, I'd go back upstairs, and I'd find the kids would be extremely unhappy. They're both here tonight. They might remember that. Yeah, there are Donna and Charles and Lucille Gunn and Mr. Khanna, just like it says. I don't know who that lady is. I probably know her, but somehow or other I can't put a name. I can't place a name. But see, I missed this part of the tour. This is the Beaumont Palm Springs section that I missed. That's a nice picture of Master. I don't know. I don't know what the musical notes are doing there. It was so beautiful. Was really being with them was like having an extra dimension added on to your existence. Is that at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought probably. Okay, well, God bless us all. Yeah.